All right, welcome to the Out of Chicago Photography Podcast. I'm Chris Smith, and I'm here with Corwin Hebert. You may know Corwin as the business manager to the photography stars, whether it's David Duchemin or Steve Simon or all these other people. He's amazing. His ideas that he's got to help people grow as a photographer and to grow their business are great. And he's the author of all these things, right? Living the Dream. Am I saying this right, Corwin? Growing the Vision Monger. And he's got the Business Action Planner. We're going to talk about all this today. But welcome to the show, Corwin.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is a real pleasure. I've heard you speaking with David on different podcasts and on all these other ones, and really fortunate to have you on here. So it's a pleasure for me. So tell us a little bit about kind of your day to day. I know you manage all these different people. It's got to be a different thing every day.
I send a lot of email. I just send email, more email, and I avoid email, and I delete email. No. My day to day is spent on the business side of photography. And actually, a little bit broader than that, I work with a lot of different kinds of creative people, a lot of different kinds of creative freelancers, but photography, that's home base for me. That's the sweet spot. I spend the majority of my time dealing with photographers and the business of photography. So for me and my work and the work of my company, we roll up our sleeves and we deal with the things that our clients don't want to do, our photographers don't want to do, or that they shouldn't do. And to be honest, I started my business by accident. Most good businesses are by accident, or at least the ones that people like to talk about. I started it about a decade ago. At the time, my close friend David Duchemin said, you know, he was going off the grid. He was going to be traveling, needed someone to keep an eye on his inbox, you know, back when email felt quite new anyway. He's like, I need you to kind of keep tabs on my inbox. So I did that. He came back 2 weeks later and I didn't give it back to him. I'm like, you know, I can do a better job of this than you can. Why don't you just go make pictures and I'll take care of your inbox. And from there grew a tandem agency. We are a small management firm that handles, you know, everything for photographers. And so we're dealing with lawyers and accountants and clients and production. And we do a lot of publishing in photography education and logistics and travel and billings and all the good, nasty, spreadsheety, email-driven meetings stuff of the business of photography. So that's my day-to-day.
So how do you communicate with David? How is it that, like, an important email comes in and you say, okay, we actually got to deal with this. Do you email him to a different account, or do you know what I mean?
For example, most, you know, he's not publicly accessible, you know, by email. He's sort of I'm the gatekeeper in a lot of ways where my team is. And so, you know, we've been working together so long that, you know, I respond intelligently, know how to handle most people. But every now and then I fling something over at him and go, you deal with this. This is for you. Or I kind of collaborate with him on how best to engage with someone or that kind of thing. So, you know, doing this for a number of years now, it's pretty intimate. We're pretty familiar with, you know, what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it and that kind of thing. So it's really fun, actually.
So maybe the answer to this question will be your awkward pause where you don't say anything. But when you're replying back to people, are you saying, hey, this is Corwin? Or are you like,
yes,
I'm David?
No, I always respond as myself. You know, funny you should ask that, because early on I did that. I made some scripts and David approved them. And it was sort of like a, you know, I wrote them as, you know, I didn't do that for very long because that was really early on and it just didn't fit. It didn't work, because when you send email, I've learned this, when you send email, it produces more email. So as dismissing as you might be in the email, it still is like, oh, well, I just have this one quick question or whatever. You know, one of the things that probably stands out to me the most is that when people would write David and say, you know, they want to ask a question about some f-stop or some tripod or whatever, and he hates those. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, so I started to just make stuff up. Like, oh, well, you know, this tripod head, it turns like all the way around. So
it's a good one. Yeah. F17 and a half. You got to go for that.
Here's
a
link to B&H. Go.
That's good. So, yeah. So for a normal person, they're just getting into this. There's no way they're going to afford someone like you to be handling all that stuff. Are there other people out there, or what recommendation do you have for someone like that? Or is it, you just got to do it all till you really, you know, are able to create more of a revenue on your own?
Yeah, well, I mean, my business is built around photographers that have a lot of demand. And so they have a lot of inbound activity that they need someone to handle for them. For photographers that are looking more on the soliciting side, they're looking more for agents or reps. And that's one of the categories I kind of fall into, is people kind of refer to me as an agent or rep. And that might be true in some sense of the word, except that I don't work on commission. I do professional service fees. And I don't do cold calling. I don't pick up the phone and, you know, like, hi, I'm Corwin Heber. Oh, of course, though I'm Canadian, I speak with a Southern accent.
Of course, cold Southern Canada.
Hi, I'm Corwin Heber. Would you like to hire David Duckerman? He's very good with his camera. Anyway.
Okay.
What happens is when a photographer is looking to kind of ramp things up and do a better job or get more organized, you know, there's lots of different people they can reach out to, whether it's a business coach that they trust to kind of help them through some of the business development issues or barriers. If they're able to find an agent or a rep that can pick up the phone and kind of can tap their resources and their networks to kind of say, hey, this photographer is a good fit. Wonderful Machine is a great example of a service that acts a little bit like an agent or rep and to sort of help, you know, put someone out there. But in a lot of cases, photographers need to wear a number of hats before they can start to build a business that warrants other people getting involved. So I spend a lot of my time helping photographers be better entrepreneurs or helping photographers become better marketers, because in the end, they're going to have to do all these things, so they might as well have less stress, do a better job, because ultimately they feel like they're going to get paid when they are making pictures. Though, of course, every business model, you know, is organized differently and has different values. But when a creative person gets paid, it's usually attributed to the creative work that they've produced on demand.
That totally makes sense. And you also have put together a lot of materials. You can't work one-on-one with everyone, but tell us about some of the books that you've written and the Business Action Planner.
Yeah, I do a few things. The first one is I do one-off consulting sessions for those that, you know, are available to get on Skype with me, and just they need to have a professional sounding board. And unofficial tagline for my consulting in that regard is I don't coach, I kick ass. So I'm not a very good handholder at all. If you want to cry on someone's shoulder, you can go somewhere else. But ultimately, you know, I'll try to inject as many ideas or insights or industry advice as I can for those that kind of need a real shot and real sort of kind of get set in the right direction. But outside of that, and outside of the odd workshop or you know, keynote thing, I do write, and I have a tendency to write workbooks. I think my team is hoping I'll write something that doesn't require interactive PDF development, but I like making things that people can work on, because a photography business is never done. There's no such thing, I think, as a business plan for a photography career. It's a creative endeavor. It's always changing. Everything's changing in a person's life, and a small business owned by one person or operated by one person, it's a dynamic thing. So I created the Business Action Planner for Photographers as sort of a digital toolkit that leverages Evernote to kind of help you always working on the things that make the most sense to you or that are most important to you or that just kind of gets the momentum going. And that's where a lot of photographers struggle when they're trying to work on their business is, A, they're trying to work on everything all at the same time, and they're trying to do it all at once. And they can't get into momentum because all those things just cause them to become paralyzed. So the Business Action Planner is a sort of a bit of a programmatic approach to sort of working on your business plan in an ongoing way. So it's a fun tool. And then I have a few other books, including a book that was published by Peach Pit Press called Living the Dream. And that's, you know, available in, well, it used to be available in bookstores near you. Now I think it's available at Amazon.com near you.
That's real near me. Yeah. Sure. Okay. What would be the first place you'd point someone if they're just getting to know you and they want to understand all the ideas that you've got? Is it that action planner or one of these books?
Yeah. Yeah. At this point, I would send people to businessactionplanner.com. It was a one product website that's kind of developed into something a little bit more for now, but it's a good snapshot of what it is that I do and how I help photographers and what we're busy with. So businessactionplanner.com.
All right. We'll have links to all those, everything you're talking about as well. You've also been involved with 5-Day Deal, which I think everyone's kind of heard about. Do you want to talk a little bit about that too?
Yeah, 5-Day Deal is a really, really great community of photographers, and expanding beyond that, of people that want, you know, access to really great professional resources and tools and tutorials, and basically honing their craft or growing what they want to do, in sort of a Black Friday like mentality. So, back in February, I was the lead guy for the photography business bundle, and we put together, you know, worksheets and ebooks and tutorials and things that help photographers do a better job of running and marketing their business. And it was gangbusters. It was so much fun. And so many people got involved. And we had 25 contributors. And every 10% of every purchase from 5-Day Deal goes towards our charity partners. So we raised like $60,000 in 5 days for the charities that we support. And it's a really, really fun community that I'm involved with. In fact, I'm coming up, I'm working on a 5-Day Deal called the Video Creators Bundle. So people that are making films, people that are making movies, whether it's a photographer kind of turning into a videographer, or whether it's a diehard film video movie maker, it's a really great bundle of resources for those people. So that's coming up May 19th. So it's a really, really cool group. I'm one of five. The group's always growing, and it's a way to sort of get access to those resources that people don't normally have. So our business bundle, for example, was $2,500 worth of resources for $87. You know, it's pretty hard to turn that down. There's something in there for everyone, especially at a price like that.
Right. It's not like you would have to read and watch 100% of it to get the value out of it. You just need to get one or two things that really are going to work for you, and then you never know what might hit of the rest of them. Be like, wow, this, I wasn't expecting this to be good, and it really is.
Totally.
That's what I've seen with a couple of them in the past. So, for sure. I'm all over the place with my questions. This is just a question I had. How much are you helping out with, like, Craft and Vision? Is that any part of what you're doing? Is that a huge part of what you're doing, or not at all?
Yeah, so David Dushman owns craftandvision.com, which is a photography education platform. And I've been involved heavily ever since its inception. More recently, the team has grown and changed a little bit, where I'm maybe not involved in the production of the products as much as I used to be. But David and I scheme and plan and organize and work with authors and partners all the way through the Craft and Vision sort of cycle. So I'm very involved with it. It's a real passion of mine. And the growth of Craft and Vision has really been remarkable, because it's a place where, you know, early on it was the $5 photography education ebook store. You know, mm-hmm. Like that's what we were doing, you know, a number of years ago. And it's expanded now. It's growing in the types of resources that we offer and the depth in which we go. And it's a really, really great place. And whether it's, you know, the writings of David Dushman or other photographers that he trusts, it's a really special place.
Yeah, no, I've bought a ton of books from there and always enjoyed them. So yeah, great place. You guys are really kicking butt. One thing you said there is that he'll you're scheming with him. It sounds like you're kind of the guy that he'll go to bounce ideas off of. And I think that most photographers trying to run an interesting business, they got to have someone like that. You agree?
I do. You know, I come across a lot of photographers that, you know, they rely on a spouse or a close friend to sort of be that voice for them. And in many cases, that's exactly what you need, right? Someone just to kind of go, hey, am I crazy? Like, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? You know, any pitfalls that you can, you know, say them out loud, that kind of thing. David and I have had that relationship for many, many years now, over 10 years. In fact, we were collaborating in that way before he was a full-time photographer and way before I was doing photography business management. We were doing our own things, totally unrelated, and we were just bouncing stuff off each other. And eventually our businesses and creative ventures sort of merged. But that type of person is so valuable. We've right early on, like I said, before, you know, we're doing what we're doing now, we were doing something called a think and drink. And it was, well, yes, there was drinking. That was actually scheduled. We were scheduled drinking, but it was also a really, really focused time where we would share, you know, deep, dark secrets and plans and ideas, and we would solicit feedback from each other and really in a really sort of raw, you know, way that helped us make better decisions. So it was really, really fun. I hope that, you know, one of the things I see in photography in the industry right now is photographers are becoming very isolated. First of all, there's industry-itis happening where photographers are just, you know, creeping around with other photographers, and they're not exposed to other art forms or other, you know, business environments or other social networks, and it's sort of, they get kind of stuck. The other thing is that maybe it's the digital nature of it all, but I know way too many photographers that spend way too much time in front of their editing software. You know, they have a love affair with Lightroom, and they spend hours and hours and hours in front of Lightroom, and they're not spending it building their professional network. They're not spending it having fun or filling their head with their ideas or getting excited about something other than, you know, a dashboard tool or widget or, you know, adjustment brush or something. So there's definitely some pain points there that I've seen in the industry. I hope that photographers that really want to make a go of their business, they make sure they don't spend too much time in front of their computer, and they don't spend too much time away from the people that they actually want to serve and extract money from.
Yeah, that's a very interesting thought, because I think that the thing you hear more from people over the last 10 years is that photographers are out there and they're finally willing to share what they know, and they're sharing so much more than they ever have in the past. But they're doing it, I never thought about it, but they're kind of doing it in an isolated manner. They're like, here is all mine and I'm going to share it out to the world, but not as much collaboration and like you said, not as much face-to-face contact with the people that they're actually working with. They're just putting it out there as much as they can.
Yeah, and social networks is another example where just because you share something on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, that doesn't actually mean you're marketing. That doesn't mean you're actually engaging your audience at all. Just hoping and wishing for likes and votes and clicks and stuff. I mean, that doesn't help anyone. It can be really toxic, just whoring yourself out to a social network in hopes of something, you know, to produce a paycheck.
So what would you tell someone when they're doing that, when you see them spending way too much time just putting stuff out on social media and not making, you know, those other connections? What's the best thing to do?
Yeah, you know, I mean, if I was their manager, I would, you know, put them on the clock, you know, whether it's an egg timer or whatever, and just say, you got to cut your social networking time down dramatically, because you can schedule it, you can get in, you can get out, you still want to be engaging, you still want to share, you still, you know, it's a great way to build and serve an audience, but you have to be a little bit hardcore about it and, you know, spend less time on it and don't make it the default. A lot of people, especially with their phones, are making their social networks, they're sort of their default, like, I'm waiting for the bus, I'm going to look at it, I'm waiting in line, or I'm in a conversation with someone, but the conversation is lagging, so I'm just going to look at my phone. And that kind of stuff is so tragic. It breaks down human connections. It distracts people from, you know, their surroundings. And I think it kills ideas. I think it kills, you know, brain cells as far as I'm concerned. So I'm concerned about as much all the social sharing that's going on.
Yeah, well, it's kind of that idea of, you know, you get your best ideas in the shower, because you can't be thinking about much else, you know. It's like, yeah, you can't be on your phone or whatever. So if you're trying to consume, you can't be thinking about your own ideas if you're consuming the entire time.
So what else do you think about while you're bathing?
I don't remember anymore now. What was the question? Nice. You're the one that was supposed to be awkward and not answer things.
No, you brought it up.
So here, I want to ask you a question that, you know, I've never gotten an answer that I really liked. I've asked this a few times, and so I'm going to put you on the spot and see if you can come up with something that that will help. And the question is, you know, if you are a photographer that has a full-time job that, maybe you know where I'm going with this now, but that loves photography, and you want to stay with that full-time job, but you would love to make a few dollars on the side, and you'd love to, you know, I hear so many people that attend our events are like, I would love to just make enough money so that I can maybe buy a new lens every year. You know, what advice do you have for people like that? Or is it, I mean, maybe that's completely out of your realm as well, but I'm interested to see if you have any ideas for that.
Yeah, almost all of the clients that I manage have diversified income streams, that they make money in from other places than just clients that they served by making photographs, you know, that they were commissioned to make. So from a business point of view, I'm a huge fan of, whether it's someone just doing it on the side or someone that's doing photography full time but wants to make money in the education market. They want to make money teaching people how to make better photographs or whatever the niche within that market might be. So from a business sense, I think it's great. I think when, for example, in 2008, when the economy went crap and suddenly clients had a lot less money to spend on photography, and especially, you know, commercial clients or corporate clients, when everyone's budgets got really, really strained, that's when I saw the majority of the people that are now exceptional educators in photography. It sort of seems like that's when they started doing it more, because they realized, okay, my, you know, commercial photography career is, you know, it's not doing what it was, you know, a number of months ago. I think I need to find other ways to make money. But it's a little bit here, there, there. Ultimately, if you have talent and you've earned the right to teach people how to make better photographs, then by all means. I mean, there are plenty of people with cameras out there. Most of them, you know, don't necessarily know what they're doing, and they know it. So they're happy to learn from someone that they like. They're happy to learn from someone that can get through all the technical mumbo jumbo and kind of say, here's how I approach it. Here's why I make these decisions. Here's what's important to me when I'm making photographs. This might help you make better photographs for yourself. If you can do that and make money at it, I think it's really great. So I have no concerns about it. I have no reservations. And I think that across the board, if a photography business can find ways to have income coming from, you know, as many areas or ways or places or markets or industries as possible without it being detrimental to their brand or to their voice or to their, you know, what their unique value proposition is, then I say go for it.
And is there any one of those specific things that would be better than others? Would it be better to try and write an ebook? Would it be better to try to do workshops? Would it be better to make videos? Is there one that you see that, like, okay, this is usually more productive as far as making a couple bucks than the rest?
Yeah, that's a good question. I there probably isn't a simple answer, because it does depend on someone's audience, you know, who they're selling to. And there are some people that, you know, based on their audience and the needs around them, simply doing workshops or photo walks or that kind of thing just makes sense for the people that they know and understand. Obviously, digital products, digital content is great, because you can sell that while you're sleeping. And that's always a good thing, being able to generate revenue when you're not having to be present. So I'm always a big fan of those things. Though I don't know many people selling digital product that don't also have workshops or do lectures or have other ways of, you know, distributing, you know, their talent and their education in other ways, whether it's through YouTube or what have you. So it can be a little bit of sort of like, well, how about all of them? But if I was to pick one, I would pick, especially for the hobbyist or the person that's doing it on the side, I would pick digital content, and I would err on the side of doing video. The reason why I say that is that busy people that are learning photography in the margins of their life would rather watch something than read it, because they're tired. Their eyes, what are they going to do? Look at a backlit screen when that's what they do all day for their job, right? Mm-hmm. So watching is easier than reading. And I think the consumption mentality, sort of preferences of a lot of people these days, is that they want to be entertained more than they want information. So, you know, an entertaining video, whether it's, you know, it could just be your, you know, your eyesight camera from your laptop, or it's something a little bit more elaborate, but people want to have a little bit of entertainment factor associated with their learning experiences. So I think video tutorials are a great way to educate and to inspire and to entertain your audience. And, you know, there's plenty of opportunities online to sort of get those videos into a pay for download service, that kind of thing, whether it's using Vimeo or it's, you know, there's lots of options. So I'm a big fan of the video option.
Yeah, I think that that's probably right. I'm sure for everyone, they're a little different. Some people would be better on video. Some people are better writers. But
totally.
But yeah, I think that's good advice. Let's talk about this summer. So in just a couple of months here at the end of June, you're going to be here in Chicago, and you're teaching a couple of classes. You're teaching Making a Living with Corwin Hebert and Drawing a Crowd with Corwin Hebert. And tell us a little bit about those classes.
They're both with me?
Wow. With Corwin Hebert. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, that I would be there. I'm really looking forward to coming. And one of the things I'm really excited about is that for photographers that are looking at doing, you know, a little bit more or making a little bit of money, or just kind of, they're at that stage where they kind of realize, you know what, I kind of know what I'm doing. I make good photographs. I think people want what I'm doing. I'm excited about that stage of photographer because the sky's the limit a little bit, right? They can mm-hmm. sort of pie in the sky, a little bit of dreaming. Good business ideas come from that place. Good business schemes happen when you can kind of go, okay, what if I offered this? Or what if I made this and put it out there for licensing? Or if I reached out to some people that I thought this might serve in some way and be able to, you know, charge a few bucks for it, or kind of go from there. So I think it's really fun to talk about business and marketing in a way where, of course, if someone's doing it professionally or they're doing it almost full time and they kind of really want to, you know, jump up to the next level, then great, let's talk about that. But I feel like these conversations can be pretty inclusive of really anyone that says, I want to make $1 to $1 million. Well, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but let's just talk what it means to put yourself out there in the marketplace.
Yeah, and I think what's going to be great is we got pretty full crowds already in both your classes, but I know that, we have like 40-some instructors. I know we're going to have a bunch of the instructors at your things as well, because that's right up their alley. That's right up my alley, so I'll be there. But yeah, we're super excited to have you. You're also going to be a part of the panel discussion that we're doing. Well, same thing, making money with your photography, but we'll have, who else is going to be on there? I'm on the site right now. So Frederick Van Johnson, Tim Wallace, Mike Motes, you guys are all going to be talking about, you all came about it from different ways and doing different things. I think it's going to make for a neat discussion.
Very cool. Yeah, it's going to be really, really great.
Yeah. So the last thing I want to talk about is I heard you talking about this on another podcast, and you started to bring it up earlier, and it was the idea of you're running your own business, and running your own business is a creative endeavor. And I'd never heard anyone say that before. And before you explain just a little bit about what you mean by that and how people can apply it, I just want to say that, like, that was a huge, that was in the back of my mind the entire time when I'm like, I should start a conference. I should start this event. And I'm thinking, yeah, I can be creative. I don't have to follow the way that other people do it. I can do my own thing. And just hearing that was a huge inspiration for me and has really helped me make a lot of the decisions we've made for this event. So how do other people use that? Or how do you explain that to people, that creating a business can be a creative thing?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people look at a creative venture and kind of say, okay, well, I make creative work because they consider themselves to be an artist. And that's the creative side. But the business side is like across this giant chasm, right? It's on the other side. It's, I got to flip a switch. I got to put my business hat on. And I got to, the artist must die and I must become business guy, business person to pull this thing off. Whereas I think there's a lot of creativity that can come from how you present your work, you know, the experience that people have online or in physical form when looking at your, say, your printed book. You know, what do they experience? Is it the tactile experience? Is it the viewing experience? I mean, there are artistic and creative decisions that go into the presentation of one's work. When it comes to the language that people use when they're communicating, whether it's in email or in face-to-face, you can script that, you can plan that, you can organize yourself so that you're using keywords that inspire you, that don't make you want to curl up and die inside. You know, when people talk about, you know, I talked to someone that was having to come up with a proposal. I'm like, I've never made a proposal ever. And it's so dry and all these numbers. I'm like, well, then, I don't know, turn your proposal into a pantomime or do a skit or a play. Okay, maybe that might not work out very well, but you got to think
your
about
personality.
You
know,
that's right. Do something fun. Like if you're a wedding shooter and you say that you're great with people, well, then don't do a stupid ass boring, you know, PDF estimate that makes you look like a freaking librarian. That's not on brand, right? You say you love people, then communicate in a way that when a human is listening to you talk about what you do, why you do it, and how much you charge, that they're going to be like, yeah, I want to work with you. It's simple. And again, that can come from, you know, scripting something or writing something down or getting something published in more of a magazine layout format versus like a, you know, Microsoft Word export to PDF format. So there's lots of ways to take your creative ideas and your passions and go about your business in ways that, you know, don't freak people out. I came across a contract that a photographer had that was, it was not a contract. There was literally no legalese in it at all. It would not hold up in court. But her point was, I'm not going to sue you anyway. And if you sue me, I'm broke. You can have whatever I have. It's fine. Just basically, she's saying, this is an agreement between you and I to say we're on the same page. And she had fun with it. So it's always a good idea to look at the business side of your venture, as it's still creative. It just looks and smells a little different than a photograph or than a print or than a, you know, something that gets put on a wall or what have you. So there's always ways to have fun with what you're doing. And I think a creative venture should be fun. And for those that, you know, really, really hate the business side and they see no way out of it, I would say they're probably not best suited to be an entrepreneur, that it is probably a huge distraction. And you might want to find other, I think it's Chase Jarvis, but David Duchman steals the quote all the time, so I'll steal it from them. And they kind of talk about, you know, create, share, and sustain. And the sustaining part is whatever. However you make your money to pay for the gear, to pay for your life, to live your lifestyle, then so be it. It doesn't have to be related to how you create and how you share. Because ultimately, I think that we're all artists in our hearts and in our minds, no matter how we approach our work and what's important to us. We all have this artistic spirit. And at the end of the day, it's about a creative legacy. It's not about how much money you put in the bank account. Your creative legacy will be charged. It will be, you know, fueled by your experience in making and your experience in sharing. So however someone needs to fill the bank account, I don't care. I've worked professionally with photographers that have full-time or part-time jobs in other fields. And it's not a problem, because it's just, you know what, their brand is strong. They do what they're doing and they're just working it out.
Oh, I got a huge smile on my face. I love it. The last 5 minutes there, that was perfect. Everything you said, if that made sense to you guys, that's going to take you a long way. All right, Corwin, that was amazing. Anything else you want to add? Where should we go find you? All that stuff.
Yeah, go to businessactionplanner.com. That's where you'll find me, and where you can check out the Business Action Planner as well as the Next Level ebook and a few other things we got going on there.
All right, you're the man. Can't wait to meet you in person and hang out in June. And hopefully everyone listening will be there as well. So thank you very much. We'll see you in June.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Corwin.